Lord. See, most of us are in a hurry. Most of us are saying, man, I just want this thing over. I'm just done with this. I want this thing over. And I just want things to go back to normal. I just want this thing to over so I can get back to busy, 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 busy doing what I want to do. But the reality is, God is saying, not so quick. Not so quick. I want to help every person here, especially those of you that are in the leadership of our church. And I'll start with me. God is saying, if he's got us anywhere here, don't miss this. If you sleep through everything I preach, don't miss this. We have made our services, Sunday school, choir, patch club, bus ministry, and all of these things are wonderful. But what we have done, we've made them more important than him. So he's laid all of these things to the side over here. And he said, now, I want you focused on me. I want you waiting on me. Hey, Sunday school teacher, there's something more important in your class. And that's the God of that class. Hey, preacher, there's something more important than this church. There's the God of this church. There's something more important than the bus ministry. There's the God of the bus ministry. And God is saying, wait on the Lord. And he might keep us waiting here till we turn our heads upward and say, Lord, what would you have us to do? What would you have me to do? See, we need to understand. We like to do what we want to do. We like to do what we feel we need to do. But have you ever thought that God just might have a greater purpose and a greater plan for you than just what you think it ought to be? Hallelujah! He just might have a greater plan and a greater purpose, but he had to stop us, sit still, and look up one more time. We are so selfish, are we not? Just go ahead and nod your head. Amen. We're so selfish. It's about what we feel, what we think, our opinion, what I like, dislike. And we just stop to realize this thing's all about him and he's getting our attention. He said, stop. I'm saying something, I'm talking to you, and I want your attention. I want your attention. I love this. When Elijah was little, and he's still like this. He likes to be around people. And he would come and talk to me. And what he would do as a little boy, when I was ignoring him, he would grab me by the face and he would grab my jaws like this, and he said, listen to me. You know what I believe God's doing right now? I believe God's grabbing all of us by our jaws and saying, listen to me. I'm trying to talk to you. I want your attention. I want you to know what. So the first thing, we got patience. We got to wait with our patience focused on the Lord. See, we must not wait till the disease ends, but rather we need to wait on the one that can end it. Are you listening? We don't need to wait till the disease ends. Truth of the matter is, From the beginning of time, there's been viruses. There's always been a virus. Flu's a virus. This ain't nothing new. And the truth of the matter is, we don't need to wait till it ends. We need to wait on the one, the Lord, that can end it. See, when we focus on Him rather than the problem, a wonderful peace comes over our hearts and our minds. I got news for you. It's going to be a shock. Are you ready? Hang on. God's not changed in any of this. They're not social distancing in heaven. And I guarantee you He's not wearing a mask. Nothing's changed. He still sits enthroned in heaven. And He can use all of this for our good. Romans 8:28, we know that all things. What does that mean, a virus? All things. Does that mean all that's going on? That means all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Isaiah 43, it is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof as grasshoppers, and stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That's the God I serve. He sits on the circle of the earth, and He looks at all of us and said, there's my grasshoppers. That's what the size we are. I suppose, now listen, I suppose there's never been another generation in history that's had as much control over things in their daily lives as this generation. You can drive down the road, pull your bank account up, and move money from one account to another. You can call at a moment's notice to anyone. You can talk to anybody, anywhere, if you got a signal. And if you don't leave your phone out in the heat, and it had a stroke, my phone had a stroke, I'm sure of it. It's amazing the control we have. It's amazing. I take my phone, and I can tell you where my children are at any given time. We stalk them on a regular basis. I tell you where our grandchildren are. I tell you this, before she pillows her head at night, darling pulls up the family and makes sure they're okay. And yet, this generation is the least happy people of any generation. We've got all the modern technology. Matthew gets up and he talks to his computers. Tells him, is that not right? He tells him the time and it just comes on. It's amazing. And yet, we are, with all the marvels of modern technology, yet we're still not happy. Wow. We're still not happy. As a matter of fact, young people are committing suicide at a higher number than ever in history. Drugs are ravaging the lives of the young and the old alike. It used to be just young and stupid. Now it's across the board. Mental illness is rampant. Prisons are more crowded than any other time in the past. And yet, we have at our disposal all the things that the generation before us, but we're still not happy. God is seeking to slow us down so He can show us the real meaning of life. Praise God, knowing Him, living in His will, being indwelled with His Spirit, sharing His love, brings about the greatest measure of joy and success that anyone can ever know. It seems that, and I don't know why it is, but it seems that the Gulf War in 1990s, people filled the churches and were seeking God. in 9/11 on a Tuesday, we opened the church doors and a little white church down here filled up. First family to the door was a boy, man told me he didn't believe it really was a God. He said he was atheistic and was the first one. And what's happened, we treat God like some kind of tooth fairy or rabbit's foot. Have you ever thought how lucky a rabbit feels? That's about how foolish a rabbit's foot is. And what's alarming to me is this. We're turning to everything. I tell you, watch two preachers. The governor said this. We got... But nobody's turning to God. Why are we not turning to God? Why are we not? And perhaps God's going to leave us here a while till we do. Till we do. Some experts in government and finances and education are saying the world's economy and international behavior will be changed forever because of this virus. I don't know about that, but I'll tell you this. Tell you what's not done yet. I've yet to have one person call me and text me and said, Pastor, we just need to get to God. We need to get to God. So that tells me we believe we can handle this without God. We believe we still got control. So we're in the waiting room. He's got us in the waiting room. Number one, wait with patience, focused on the Lord. Number two, wait with power of God's courage in the Lord. Power of good courage. He said, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. That word courage is an interesting word. It means to be fixed, to take hold of. It also has the meaning of this, to continually be fixed, take hold of. It means to latch onto something and not turn it loose. God said, wait on the Lord. And I want you to latch on to me and not turn loose. He said, I want you to turn loose. No matter how well we can handle it, he can handle it better. Psalms 10 says, he has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. In this time of unknown and fears in the very air we breathe, may I remind you, Christian community ought to be different, but we're not. The reality is, God says, I've got you in my hand, so grasp the hand that's holding you and hold on tight. May I remind you, that day Christ was crucified was a sad day, a Friday. It's a sad day. But while they were in the waiting room, Sunday was coming. Amen. Amen. Number one, we're to wait with patience, focused on the Lord. Number two, with power of good courage in the Lord. And number three, boy, I believe this is where we start and ends. And may I remind you, many of you just need to run. You need to quit thinking what people say or think and run to God this morning because you desperately need this. A promise of a strengthened heart from the Lord. A strengthened heart. Everything you and I will ever be begins in the heart. Everything. That fear, it's in your heart. Or faith, starts in your heart. I had fainted unless I believed. A belief is not something you say, but it's something you are. Belief is not something you say, I believe, just like you say, I thank God I'm saved. But the reality is, in your heart, you're not. I believe, but in fact, your actions saying you don't. I believed. So I fainted. I wouldn't have made it. I wouldn't have survived it. I just wouldn't have made it. I would have fainted unless I'd believed. Now notice what he said. To see the goodness of the Lord. I want to ask you a question. Listen to me now. Everybody look up this way. Let's pay attention. I'm going to ask you a question. You're seeing everybody that's got masks on. You're seeing that they're social distancing. They're seeing, don't touch me. I'm going to ask you a question. During this 7-8 weeks, have you seen the goodness of a holy God? Amen. Have you? Have you seen His goodness? I have. Now, let me say this. You probably won't see that goodness unless you're looking for it. But it starts even something greater than that. It starts in your heart. I'm saying that I know there's a God in heaven. And I know He's doing something in all this. And I want to see what He's doing in this time. And seeing the goodness of God. God's been good to our family in the last few weeks. Amen. God's put up a hedge of protection this last few weeks. God supplied this last few weeks. God's been good this week. I've seen, believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Can I ask you a question? What are you talking about? I don't want to hurt your feelings, but ain't you tired of talking about all the newscasts? I'm so sick of that junk, and I don't even watch it. I don't. I just don't. But occasionally, several people call me, so I'll pull it up and watch it. And I'm tired. Aren't you tired of talking about that? Why is it not God's people is talking about God's goodness? And I mean this. Has any of you went hungry? Got no food? I mean this. If you ate, I'll feed you. We got some potato chips right back. Amen. And some salsa at home. Where's Jaden? I want to ask you a question. Has everybody got clothes? I want to ask you a question. Have you lost your home in the middle of this? Have you still got your home to go to after service today? Now I want to ask you a question. What in the world? Have you looked to see the goodness of God? I mean, we don't see the goodness. There's a lot of craziness out there. There's a lot going on. I agree. We all get caught up in it a while. If we start looking around and saying, God, what are you doing? What do I need to learn? What do you want me to see? Lord, I'm focused on you. What do you want me to see during this time? And let me tell you, if you do that, He'll let you start seeing some wonderful things that'll blow your mind. Amen? David said, I'd have fainted had I not believed in the goodness of the Lord. Verse reads like this, I will have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land. Some of you are depressed, discouraged. You're despondent. You're despairing. All of this stuff. What are you feeding your mind with? What are you feeding your thoughts? Some of you are upset because your perception of things, your expectations wasn't met. Since when did God say, I'm going to give you everything you expect to get? No. You know what he says? If you'll focus on me, I'm going to give you better than your expectations can ever be. David admitted something here. He said, I lacked faith to know. David said, I lacked faith. I almost fainted. To know that God had plans to bless and not to curse. God had plans to uplift and not destroy. And God had plans to share goodness and not judgment. See, the opposite thought occupies many hearts. When in fact, the real question that ought to occupy our heart is this. Why does a holy God bless an unholy people to begin with? When I look at my life, I'm just going to be honest. If I got honest with God, I just stand amazed that he'd even give me the time of day. David knew. If you want your heart strengthened, know and maintain faith in the fact that God will bless our lives in the land of the living. And he'll strengthen your heart. This pandemic has created a world of confusion, worry, and fear. And you're either going to do one of two things. You're going to look to the world and tremble, or you're going to look to God and trust. And it's your choice. It's your choice. How can I increase my trust in the Lord? I want to ask you a question. I want your attention. Everybody wake up. Look this way. Ask your question. It's an important one. Has God ever blessed you in a monumental way in the past? Now I'm going to ask you a question. Why don't you think he'll do it again? Why don't you think he'll keep doing that? Where'd you get the idea that he stopped doing that? I'm asking God for a lot of things for our church. You know why? Because he's done a lot of things in the past. Amen. Amen. I'm in your stop right now, rehearse, maybe write down some of the amazing things God has done for you. And remember, no one else could have done them. When you look at the problem, you'll tremble. But when you look at the Lord, you'll trust. So I'll stand to our feet. Every head bowed and every eye closed. God's waiting room. Nobody likes a waiting room.